Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Such a good song. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. I don't care what they say about you. You're a little SOB you. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Rock and roll. Yeah. That's what this one's all about. Yes. We're that much closer to Christmas. Oh, boy. Welcome in, of course. Happy Saturday to all of you. Happy Saturday to the East Coast there. I can see you guys right there, Delmarva, and also Lime City Radio. Welcome, everybody. I see Forrest.
Hello.
How you doing, partner?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I am awesome. And, of course, I see producer Casey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, ooh, sexy voice. Hello.
Is it?
I don't know. It sounded like it. Like,
something different?
Hey, Casey.
Yes, Sean.
I love it. And I am Sean Roberts, and of course, this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us today as we are streaming to you live from Orange County, California.
Mm-hmm.
If you are new to your Weekly Dose, this program's about having fun. We recap our past week and enlighten your day with a little laughter.
Damn right we do. Laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life, the embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things we're afraid to talk about, but damn it, we still do.
The things that make us human connect us all, and as you know, laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. And to all of our listeners, old and new, you know what, guys? We really love it when you're a part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Or on Twitter or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or send us a old school personal message through email, yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And we got a cool show for you guys today. We're going to be doing our 2022 Christmas phone messages for you guys. We got our buddy Paul Preston calling in at 10:30 for movies. We'll be talking about Christy Alley. We'll be offering up Silver Bells by Paul Simon and Steve Martin, if you haven't heard that. Also, the worst Christmas song ever. Ooh. And one of my favorite bits from my radio heroes, Mark and Brian, Elvis. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to enjoy this too,
my
friend.
Can't wait.
And then later on, we even got a pocket-sized cinema for you guys. And for Casey, look at that. It's the game at the very, very end.
Hey, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. Thank you very much. Or subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. But please tell your friends about the show.
Well, please do. Absolutely, guys. We need that. And tell everybody. Tell your neighbors. Tell whoever. Tell you. I heard this show the other day on the podcast. It's really good. It's called Your Weekly Dose. Your Weekly Dose of what? Who cares? It's just your weekly dose of laughter, fun, entertainment, whatever you want it to be. So the theme song today was You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, by actually a friend of mine, too, Mr. Gary Hoey. If you're not familiar with Gary's work as a guitar player, if you've ever seen the movie Endless Summer 2, the soundtrack for that, Gary did all the guitar work for that.
Oh, nice.
So, and if you hear anything very rock and roll like this one, any Christmas songs, even the Linus and Lucy theme that's very guitar-oriented, that's Gary Hoey.
Oh, cool.
So he's got three albums out also called Ho Ho Hoey. He is playing, I believe, at the Coach House coming up. Casey, can you look that up real quick for me, please? Because I would like to promote that for Gary. And he does it every year, though. Mm-hmm. Probably go to GaryHoey.com and see H-O-E-Y. And it's a great Christmas show. He comes in with a bass player and a drummer, and Gary just, you know, it's nothing but pure rock and roll of instrumentals of different Christmas songs and everything. Hmm. And so forth. And it's an awful lot of fun. And this year he is, as he does every year, performs here at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano. Hmm. So, you know, if we get a chance to go. So, nothing on the tour?
No.
Interesting.
Hold on, let's see.
Okay, go to the Coach House and see.
Let's check the homepage again.
Okay.
For tour dates. Here we go. Okay, never mind. They weren't on the tour page.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. What is it, does it show the date there for the Coach House, San Juan Capistrano?
Yes, December 16th.
Ah, December 16th. Okay.
Mm.
What day is that? Is that a
Friday?
That's 6 days from now. Friday, yes.
Friday, okay. Shoot, if it was on a Saturday, I'd have Gary call in.
Mm.
So Friday, you know, I might be going.
Nice.
That'd be fun. Oh, yeah, it's always good to see Gary, too.
Cool.
So, which is fun.
Well, he's in Ramona on Saturday.
Oh. Maybe I will call Gary and see if we can get him in real quick.
Where's Ramona?
On the 17th, yeah.
Who knows, but I just I got to go with that. So.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, so Yummy One Mr. Grinch by Gary Hoey. Check it out. It's really good rock and roll for Christmas stuff. You want something a little bit different, you know, instead of the jazz stuff,
yeah.
You know, what have you, whatever. Great, great, great stuff by Gary. Go to Amazon. Go to our main sponsor, Amazon.com, and get it there. But first, you want to go to our website, though, this holiday season to do all your shopping, because you want to click on our banner for Amazon and then bookmark it and then shop to your heart's delight. And and download Gary's albums. They're great. Have you started your Christmas shopping yet or no?
A little bit. Did the old online thing.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and then I'll probably do the... battling people in traffic and Target and all that, and Walmart. And
even before COVID, I started to do the whole online thing.
Yeah.
And it's just so much easier.
It knocks a lot of it out of the way.
Yeah. Ramona's 2 hours away from here.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like northeast of San Diego.
Chicago.
San Diego.
Oh, San Diego.
Escondido.
Area.
It's like.
Got east
it. Oh, okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Thank you, Casey.
I like how she almost stopped herself. Chicago. No, I meant to say Chino. Oh, okay.
Chino. Not even close.
Ramona.
I ended up doing something kind of cool for Christmas this year, and it was kind of by accident, where I have this subscription, and every month you can opt to have them charge you for like a credit, mm-hmm. and then you use that credit towards like a monetary amount of stuff on the website, right? So you pay like $55 a month, and then you can use that for up to $80 worth of an item or something like that from the website. And throughout the year, I had forgotten to skip it numerous times. So I had like 6 credits saved up. And at the end of the year, I was like, oh man, like Christmas is always daunting because you're like sitting there trying to like crunch numbers between all the bills and stuff like that. And then figure out like, okay, so I can buy my gifts on this paycheck and then not this paycheck and then this paycheck.
I'm doing that right now too. So exactly.
So and then I'm like, oh crap, I'm running out of time. No.
What kind of stuff do they have that you're looking at?
Well, so the one that I did this time was like workout attire and things like that. So it was, you know, like the leggings and bras and pants. Pants and shorts and stuff of that nature. And so what I did this year was I had those credits and I realized I had them all. And I was like looking at the stuff online and nothing really was jumping out at like something that I would want for anything to use the credits for. And so I was like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a bunch of different credit gifts and send them to my family
for
gifts.
Yeah.
And this one ended up being really neat because for every item in like a bundle, they had like bundle packages for the holidays set up. And for each bundle, you could select the item in an individual size.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have to buy the bundles in a select size. I could buy a bundle with a small, a medium, and a large in it and then gift them accordingly. And so through that, I was actually able to use like 4 of the credits, get the gifts. There were like 2 bundles that were like $20 that I didn't feel like justified using a credit on. So I just spent the money on those ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I spent $80 out of pocket for 8 adults to get like 2 items each. So either a shirt and a pair of pants or like a bra and a bottom or shorts and a top, something like that. And I think, so after all the credits with like the $50 that I spent and all that jazz, it was like out of pocket, like $300 on Christmas for the eight adults, which averaged
that's
out to like
good.
$40 per person.
That's not bad at all.
Yep. And in the last month out of that, I was only out of pocket $80. Because throughout the rest of the year, I had incrementally dropped those like $50 here and there.
It was like the own payment plan you set up for yourself.
Yeah.
And didn't even know about it.
I know.
That's
so kind of
cool.
Now I'm at the end of the year and I'm like, gee, I wonder what other subscriptions there are out here that like do this kind of thing where I could opt in and out. And then maybe I can save those up for gifts like the next year.
Yeah. Because
I am not good about being like, ooh, that's a cool thing. I'm going to buy it right now for my sister for Christmas.
Right.
And then hide it forever. I forget that I got her that gift and then I get her two or three other things and then find it 6 months later. I'm like, damn.
My mom would do that growing up. She'd come out, she would be do some cleaning in her closet in like March or June, and she'd be like, oh, here's a Christmas gift for you. I forgot it was in my closet, and I was like, cool.
I mean, that's totally like a reasonable thing. I forgot that I hid this here.
I found Christmas gifts that I was supposed to give somebody.
Yeah.
In our garage. Yeah. And I'm like, why didn't I give it to them?
Yeah.
Why do I? Hmm. Okay.
Our memory.
Yeah, whatever.
My mom came out 1 year with like a jersey, and she was like, we were supposed to give this to your cousin years ago, and we don't even know if it'll fit him anymore.
Players retired.
It was a McNabb jersey.
Oh, it was a McNabb?
Yeah, that's funny. Which I wear. I'm an Eagles fan, so that works well for me.
He changed teams.
That's funny.
Yeah, I thought that was good. This was supposed to be a gift, but now you can have it.
Now, yeah, exactly. Should we catch up on other things too, guys?
Yeah.
All right, let's catch up.
Pretty much was all catching up.
Got him.
That was more informative. All right, so I got to ask, different jobs in the past, whatever, have you guys done the Secret Santa thing?
At work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did it go normally?
It's always a mixed, you know, sometimes it's fun and then some people are going after the good item. A lot of times it's like lame gifts and stuff.
Right.
I think I walked away with a pillow 1 year.
Hey, that's not bad.
I mean, a pillow.
That's not bad, though.
It really? Okay.
What kind of pillow?
Just some generic pillow.
Oh, well. Oh.
So, right. You know, that's the one that comes to mind. I don't know if I ever got anything good. How about you?
All right. Well I'm going to ask Casey. Casey, how about you?
Because
you guys are giving me ideas right now, and I'll tell you why.
I tend to think that they get a little lazy, right? Most people end up just buying cards with gift cards
Starbucks,
and stuff like that. Yeah, they'll just be like, what was the price limit? $25. Okay, I'll just get a $25
gift card. Right.
Okay. Well, the reason why I ask is because, so, at my job, I'm not going to say which one, we are doing a Secret Santa, and they had us fill out these forms of what we liked, you know, what's your favorite movie or whatever, favorite colors, favorite restaurants to go to or whatever, any hobbies, do you have any pets, you know, things of that nature.
That's
kind
nice.
Of thing, which is to give information, so like, oh, you know, they like Olive Garden. I'm going, maybe I'll get them, you know, a $25 gift card for Olive Garden
or something, whatever, right?
So I picked a person that I'm supposed to be the Secret Santa for.
Uh-huh.
And so then I let my supervisor know who I got. And they said, okay, we'll send you their form that they filled out. It was their name, their occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much it.
Blank.
Everything else was just not there. Now, there was a question of, do you have pets? And this person did put, yes.
What kind of pets?
And that's about it. So I'm thinking, and this is me, and let me know if this is cold or not. I'm thinking, okay, I don't know what kind of pet she has.
Right.
But maybe I'm going to get a can of tuna if she has a cat, you know? Maybe, you know, a ham bone if she's got a dog.
Right.
You know,
right,
kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, maybe, I don't know, worms if she's got, you know, fish
Or
something.
Right.
You know, maybe a hot lamp if she's got a lizard.
Gecko
or whatever, you know. I don't know what
hamster
to get.
Hamster wheel.
A hamster wheel. Yeah, a ball for a hamster, because I don't know what kind of pet she has.
I mean, you can go with the, what Casey's saying and do like a Petco, PetSmart gift card.
See, that's the easy route.
That is easy.
That is the easy route. And I thought about that too.
Right.
But here we are. We're all supposed to fill it out. And this son of a bitch doesn't put anything down. I don't know what she likes, you know, or anything or whatever, you know. And I'm like, how in the hell am I supposed to buy for
they
you?
They gave you nothing. They gave you nothing.
Yeah. So I don't know. Any other suggestions or whatever what I should do or?
Do you know anyone who knows this person?
Yes. Yes. And they did tell me that they're going to keep an ear out.
Okay.
For me, and let me know if they hear anything.
Can you do some online stalking, like look up their profiles and Google them and see what they're up to?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, what if they have like a picture on their Facebook of like them and the pet or whatever the case might be?
Yeah, they have a Dodger hat on or something. You know, they're into something, you know?
Hey, that's I never thought about that. Okay, so, Casey, can you look up? No, I'm not going to say that name.
Recon.
Yeah, Recon. Recon. But I mean, like, how? I mean, you're supposed to fill out the damn form.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're like, I don't want to get a gift for this person.
Right. it's like was it one of my son's friends or whatever got somebody last year and all they put down was they like rice. So and I know the mother of this parent or the mother of this kid, and the funny thing is that they have the same humor that I do. So they got like a 15-pound bag of rice.
I was gonna say,
here you go.
Right?
Nice.
You know, because they knew, well, you said you like rice.
Right?
What you should do is write a nice check and then don't sign it with a nice note saying, this is what happens when you don't fill out the entire form.
Get a life.
Because I filled mine out, you know. Like, there's certain things that I put down that I did like. You know, whether it was you know, like I like Batman stuff. I like Star Wars stuff. I collect N-scale trains, you know. I filled out as much as I could.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I like Olive Garden. I like this place. I like that place, you know.
You could do the old George Costanza and make a donation to a charity in their name and say that you donated $100 to the Human Foundation.
Oh, there you go.
In their name.
Oh, that would be nice. Michael J. Fox says thank you.
Right.
You know, there you go. Yeah, because that's actually one charity I would definitely donate.
And then they
donate.
Go, oh, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Here's your plaque.
Yeah.
You know, here's your plaque. So I don't know. So that was my week of bitching of like, why?
So did you haven't solved it yet?
I haven't solved it yet. Okay. You know, because I'm thinking, do I shop for this person at 7-Eleven or do I go somewhere a little bit nicer?
I heard they have good pizza at 7-Eleven.
Oh, they got great pizza at 7-Eleven.
Wrap up the meat pizza.
They got, Aunt B, good eggnog. Yeah, that's a good cracker.
Yeah, I mean, the default is the gift card because they can always just choose what they want.
Yeah, see, I don't want to default to the gift card. That's too easy. I want to be a little bit humorous and kind of stick it to them a little bit, going, bet you should have filled it out. You know,
take these seriously next time.
Yeah, take the whole damn thing seriously next time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is going to be like in front of everybody. We're getting together.
Oh, yeah, then you want a little.
So I
want to. You want some excitement in there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because, I mean, I'm not going to go like to a sex store or anything like that and go, hey, here's a toy.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to do that kind of embarrassing thing, but, you know.
You want to still work.
Don't go to a sex toy and get her a leash and say it's for her animals.
Why does it vibrate, though?
This is the only place I've ever seen leashes. You use them for something else?
We can.
Pets. You meant petting?
Pets, yeah. So that's been my week, is trying to figure that out. How about you? How about you, partner? How was your week?
Pretty busy, just staying working and doing the usual. I got to record a fun role for our friend Oz, our sports friend Oz, for his podcast Orville.
How'd that go?
Orville Mulligan. It's always fun. It's fun and recording from home. Challenging, keeping everything quiet and you know, kind of hearing the other person speak and trying to play off of that, even though they're not there. A fun challenge, and doing voiceover and podcasts is always a lot of fun. So look out for Orville Mulligan's next episode. It should be a really fun one.
Nice, Moz.
Yeah.
What's this episode about, or can you talk about it?
I don't know that I can, but it involves flying at the time, which was a new thing, a new endeavor. I think a little bit later than that, but like not the Wright brothers, but like when flying started to get a little more common in the early part of the
like the, like the 30 cents.
Like the yeah. So it's fun, a fun different kind of episode.
But nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
So Oz did a good job writing this one.
I hope this is the one I think it is, because Oz, and I don't know anything about the episode. I just know that Oz had called me one day and was like, "Hey, Casey, I need some information about skydiving and terminology and the ways that you would like talk about things."
Oh, really?
And I was like consulting with a couple of my other friends stuff like that too, with like different disciplines and whatnot. So I hope it has something to do with this episode, because that would make sense to me if he's doing something with flight.
This is the ripcord.
Well, and wondering how to talk about it, right? Because we don't call it a ripcord.
That was a solid Oz impersonation, by the way. When you took on his voice, you took on his affect very well. Hopefully he's listening.
There's a very funny scene in one of the Transformers movies, though, where the sergeant or whatever guy is telling the politician on how to jump out of the plane or whatever. And he's just going through all these things real rapidly or whatever. He goes, "Whatever you do, don't pull it. Pull it hard. Pull it hard. Pull it hard." And the politician pulls it. He goes, "Well, not now, you dumbass." And then he gets sucked out of the plane because of it. It's a really funny scene. I love that.
Cool. Funny scene in the movie, terrifying in real life.
Yeah, I bet. How was your week, though, Case, overall?
It was good. It's been a little busy. I've been picking up extra shifts, just like, so I invested in the sound equipment for doing the new projects and whatnot. So I'm just sort of like working all that down and picking up little side
gigs.
You're
doing so good at that.
Trying, man, working on it, just kind of plugging it away. I'm having fun with it.
You know, that's one thing I'm so proud about this podcast and the people that, you know, I brought on board for this thing, you know, because it's, I mean, coming up on 7 years, we've been on the air, and it's crazy. And we've had, you know, a decent turnover, you know, here and there with producers and co-hosts and everything. But every incarnation of it, I've been very proud of the people we brought on, because they've gone on to do other things too, and better things for themselves. You know, like one of our co-hosts, Phoebe, she works for Warner Brothers, you know. And like with you, Force, you know, you do the acting and everything and so forth. And then with Oz, bringing Oz on board, you know, he's doing this own different thing. And then he's asked for your help. He's asked Steve, my old partner, for help or whatever. And then you coming on, you know, Case, you know, it's been over a year now. And for you to bring your, not only your expertise from other podcasts and film industry into this thing, but to go on and do other films and stuff. And like with Nia, you've done all the sound for her and everything. And I love that camaraderie between all of us, you know, and so proud of you guys.
Yeah, and I've worked with Oz, too, as well. Yeah. And I've had the comedy troupe that I work with, Ride Magna. They've teamed up with Oz, too, and done some
See, that's
voice
so great. I love that stuff.
Oh, cool.
I love that stuff. And that's to me, that's what it's all about, you know, and where my mentors of radio. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about them a little bit later on, though. But they've always said there's a piece of pie for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I've got to do this or I got to be this or that or shove somebody out, you know, from here or there or whatever. And, oh, that would be really good. Yeah, hold on. So, talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
I got it. And you have a sketch show. Speaking of Ride Magnet, you have a sketch show coming up, I saw.
Yes. Yeah, we do. I can't even remember what date we had officially set on that. We had just set it yesterday when I was sharing all that online.
And it's out in your neck of the woods over
It is. IE. So, Paris is out here in Inland Empire, mm-hmm. and it's sort of north of the Temecula area, mm-hmm. probably by like 20 minutes, half hour, depending. Mm-hmm. It's on the 14th, Saturday, January 14th, 7:30 at night.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It should be a good time. Yeah, they went out there about 2 months ago.
Was that where you guys skydive with the lights or something? Or?
Yeah, they do that there too.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
And the comedy troupe went out there about 2 months ago, and we had a really nice time. It was like a small turnout because we did it last minute.
Uh-huh.
But I was able to snag like a couple of the friends from the Drop Zone to come by, and like they had raving reviews to give us about the crew and
nice.
The jokes that they brought on board and the personality of the gentleman. And so it was just really nice and well received. And Bomb Shelter is the name of the restaurant out there that hosts us. It's like a full bar, and they serve a restaurant. It's pretty decent.
Nice.
And and so we were inside there, so it wasn't like you had to freeze and be outside and whatnot. And
cool.
So yeah, especially in that area, yeah.
It can get really chilly that way. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it's really nice. It's really enjoyable. And, yeah, they hired us back out that way. So excited.
That's cool.
It'll be our second time there. Nice.
See,
returning
again, that's
cast.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, everybody's got their own other projects and everything's kind of interconnected. Yeah. And I love that we can do that with each other.
And it drives you to be more creative too, because now we know that they want to book us again. We have to come up with more content. We have to like be... A little bit more on our A game.
And not do the same thing or whatever over again, or whatever.
Yeah, because when you're booking different venues, it's a little easy to just sort of repeat things and get better at them and dial them in and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to exercise those things. But when you're doing the same venue, you get
over
people who come back
again.
Over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm excited for them because it's going to push us a little bit. So
yeah, which is kind of cool. Because, I mean, it's tough because I would do that with certain friends of mine, whether they were comedians or bands or whatever. And it was always the same set, or you know, or I would see them segue from one joke to another, and they go, "Oh, they're going to do this now."
You can see it coming.
Yeah, I can see it coming a mile away because I've seen them so many times.
Sure,
you know, and everything, and it's just like, okay, I can't see the show anymore for a while.
You can quote them. You can still quote them. Yeah.
You know,
here.
And I mean, whether it be famous bands, you know, like Bon Jovi or a buddy's band, cover band, you know, I would know, they're going to segue into this and they're going to segue into that.
Right.
And say, all right, I'm going to go out for a smoke.
You know?
It's like, why bother?
Right.
You know, kind of a thing. And, it's always difficult. So, yeah, so when you do go back to that venue, you definitely want to mix it up no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing I've learned too as a musical artist myself is I can't go into the same theater opening up for somebody else doing the same thing. Yeah. I've got to do something different every time.
You don't want the crowd yelling your punchline out before you even get to it, too. Like, if you're doing comedy, some jerks that are drinking, they would yell out the line before the comedian.
Exactly. You know? And that's I've seen it happen, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, from everybody from, you know, Fluffy to George Lopez, you know, to Craig Shoemaker, I've seen it happen or whatever, you know, so it's really interesting, because they know the material so well.
Yeah.
You know, they've heard it so many times. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid, though, but, like, I would always try to get a friend of mine or whatever to see if we could redo Abbott and Costello's Who's On First.
Oh, just to
just fun. To see if we could do it, you know, whatever. Yeah. Or play it, you know, and lip sync to it or something or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and try to do that and do the motions or whatever, but it's...
Yeah, we did it with other ones that we had, you know, just mimicking them. Or we talked about how, like, Bill Cosby's himself was,
my God.
Was always on, so there was passages of that I could quote, and you know, like, I still remember passages of that, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic.
Oh, especially when he talks about the kids and everything.
Kids and the chocolate cake.
And chocolate cake and beating your kid. Yeah. My wife would hold the ruler like a samurai warrior. And commence that the beatings will now begin by saying, I have had it, enough of this.
Her face melted and, you know, like all this, you know.
Yeah. You know, there was a funny thing, too, with when Johnny Carson was retiring. Mm-hmm. He asked Bill Cosby to come on and asked Cosby, could you redo the Noah bit, which is a classic Cosby bit, if you know the Noah bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes, well, I could try, John. I haven't done it in so many years. You know, at that point, it had been like maybe 15, 20 years he's done it.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'll try. So he goes, okay, well, if you can, that'd be great. That's my favorite bit that you've ever done. And for you folks, if you haven't heard the Noah bit, look it up. It really, despite how what Cosby's situation is now, it's classic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cosby comes on Carson. And the curtain opens. There's a stool, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby goes out, sits on it, and does that famous opening line. There's a fella by the name of Noah. Everybody, the audience just breaks into applause, you know. That's all I remember of that bit. So I'm going to go over now and sit with Johnny. Carson just rolled because of it.
Yeah.
And then he got up and walked over with Carson. Yeah, he goes, I've looked everywhere. He goes, I can't find my own album anymore.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't know where it's at in the house. I can't go to a record store to find it.
Right.
So that's all you get, John. You know,
it's like no internet to go YouTube it.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no internet back in that day either. So, you know. But yeah, you've got to mix it up, you know, when you're that comedy thing and coming back to something.
Yeah.
No matter what. So very cool. But Very cool. Do we got Paul yet or not yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, no problem.
We're about a minute out still. He's usually...
Yeah, yeah. Well, Paul's pretty good about things, so... anything else for you though, or anything going on with your son's filming or anything? Or?
No. It's been out there. His film is still being considered by a few festivals as part of this season, and my feature Free Lunch is still being finished. We're still looking to finish up the score and the sound editing and all that, and just realizing just really how long the process is to finish a feature if you're not funded well enough. Like you're still
awesome.
Like fundraise to film it and then fundraise to finish it.
So. There's so much things that you need to do.
So much.
One quick message. Oh, we got
one quick message.
Yeah, one quick message. Whatever. I want to say this. If you haven't had a chance, I wanted to talk about this a little bit later. Whatever. Let's go ahead and go to Paul. Let's go to Paul. Yeah, that's fine.
Teaser.
Yeah,
teaser.
Wow.
Teaser. Teaser. I'm going to talk about a book later on. So pay attention.
Stay tuned.
I see the dancers coming out now. All the feathers and everything.
Legs kicking in the air.
Yeah. And of course, this theme can only mean one thing. That is our dear friend, our pal, our brother in arms, the man who tells us what to see in the movie theaters, Mr. Paul Preston.
Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Wow. Speaking of Carson, that was like a Carson-esque introduction. The great prognosticator, the great seer into the future, the mighty Karnak. Anyway, what's a qubit?
What's a Cuban?
What's a qubit?
Cuban. Well, a qubit's about 4 feet. Well, never mind what a qubit is, but...
but build my ark, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on, gang?
Oh, not too much. Hey, first of all, I've got to say thank you. I just got your picture from you and Susan. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that.
It's not the holidays until I come up with some weird holiday photo for the card.
Well, yeah. I love the fact, though, that you have the Star Wars glasses, because I went, oh, I want those.
Mm.
Yeah, I've just never thrown out my original Star Wars Empire and Jedi glassware that you used to get from Burger King back in the day. But I also never used them. So now, get to be a certain age, you're like, what are these doing sitting in a closet? I bring them out. Now I just use them regularly. So far, so good. None have broken. And it was the perfect thing to show for those who don't know my card. It was my girlfriend drinks. I don't. So she's got a wine flight. And I've got a flight of apple juice in my Star Wars glasses. And we're giving you the old cheers for a good holiday.
Which is great. Loved it, Paul. Thank you so much for saying that, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
So, movies, man. There's a lot coming out right now for the season. What is going on?
Well, I know you wanted to look into the future. Oh, the future, the great prognosticator. so, yes, we will do that as opposed to talking about what's out there. Although, of course, if you were going to see what's out there, may I recommend She Said and Weird, the Al Yankovic story, The Menu, and The Banshees of Inisherin. Okay, but if you were to get excited about what's coming up, I mean, who isn't talking about Avatar, The Way of Water? And I think we were back when the trailer came out, and now of course it's played in London, and the initial reactions are fantastic, and to me, no surprise. As I've said before, underestimate James Cameron at your own peril.
And I was going to ask, how is this going to compare to the first film? Because I mean, the first one was just, oh my God, there were so many messages in that, as well as the cinematography and the way everything was done. How are they going to top that now? And it's been how many years since the first one?
Yeah, you answered your own question. How are they going to top it? Give James Cameron 13 years. Mm. And wow. He'll, like, apparently he has, in like, as always, I remember when he made Terminator 2, he's kind of like, this is what I want to do. And they say, we can't do it. And he's like, okay, go figure out how to do it. Then they do. Next thing you know, we have the liquid metal man that Robert Patrick played, the T-1000, in that film. So, again, I think he's done that where he said, we need to do underwater motion capture for the, because the people are obviously overlaid with sci-fi characters in this movie. And so he invented that. Zoe Saldana has already been out there talking about how he built this whole thing to get it done. And so You'll see the fruits of that. You're going to see a huge, huge, I mean, he's going to one-up himself. He's the king of sequels. Aliens, Terminator 2. I mean, he's going to go out there and knock it out of the park. Mm. And I can't wait. I've already got tickets for next Friday. You know, and it just looks like the humans are back. They've come into Pandora again. You know, they got knocked out of there last time by the Na'vi. And they're going to come back maybe for the poorly worded unobtainium. I don't know what they're there for this time. They got to have it. Got to get it. Them, whatever it is. They're going to... They're back on Pandora, and they got to be, you know, sent packing once again. But previously, it looks like the fights were in the air and on the land. Now the fight looks like it turns to the seas. And if you know Cameron with the Abyss and Titanic, he loves stuff in the water. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, you know, you just said that that Cameron is the king of sequels. Do we see a Titanic 2 later on, or?
I think even he knows better than to.
Okay, yeah. All right, just ask him.
He's really the guy who's like, he would have like 15 more movies out if he was the guy who like, should I do this? Yeah, let's do this. This would be fun. You know, I think he really is careful about what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So when a movie comes out, I mean, I was talking about perfect filmmakers, you know, who's got a perfect track record, like maybe Tarantino. I think Alexander Payne used to until Downsizing. You know, the Pixar team did until about Cars 2. So, like, who's Cameron? I think he directed Piranha 2. Am I correct about that, or did he only write it? I don't know. But regardless, after that, it's Terminator, Aliens, The Abyss, Terminator 2, True Lies, Titanic, and Avatar. I mean, they're like all great movies.
True Lies
so
is really
I expect
good.
This to fall right in line. They say the last hour, it's a long movie, it's like 3 hours and change, but the last hour is just Action City, probably on a level you've never seen before.
Wow.
I can only imagine. I will be blown through the back of the theater and purchase another ticket
We'll get our tickets for that.
Do it.
What else should we get our tickets for, buddy?
Well, here's the thing. People are saying, 13 years later, are people going to remember what Avatar is all about? Okay, well, no one's giving Puss in Boots the last wish a hard time, but it's been 12 years. It's been 11 years, I should say, since the first one of those. But sign me up. I think Antonio Banderas, his ultra-serious gravitas as the voice of Puss in Boots has been funny since the first time he appeared in a Shrek movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the first Puss in Boots, if you haven't seen it, is hilarious. It plays for 1,000 laughs.
Ooh.
And mostly laughs in it, right?
We actually agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, and that's become the cat, of course. Ooh, it's become quite a meme. the egg puns with Humpty Dumpty, super funny. So, yeah, and in this one, I guess Puss in Boots has burned through all 8 of his 9 lives, and so he has to find the last wish to restore the 9 lives that he could have. So,
oh, wow.
And it's an interesting animation style. You look at it, it almost looks like a painting come to life. It's a very soft sort of brushstroke type animation. It's different than previous DreamWorks movies. I don't know why they do that. Maybe they want to go for a more sort of fairy tale look, like a painting come to life, like it's old and classical, but... it looks good. So I'll take more of that. That again, just Banderas being super serious, and he's a cat. It's hilarious. Yeah, you know, sword fighting cat.
Who else is in doing the voiceovers with him?
In the new one, that's a good question. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it's kind of like I don't care. Zach Galifianakis did Humpty Dumpty,
Oh God, he was so good. I think that was I think that was his best role ever.
Mm. all the dumb jokes. Wait, here it is. I happen to be in front of my computer, so I can tell you.
Okay.
The new one has. Oh, never mind. Well, now I've made for boring radio. Okay, forget it.
teaser. Another teaser.
Here it is. No.
Hey. Okay, no, here it is. Selma Hayek. Oh, yeah, Selma Hayek comes back as the kid. I think she was Kitty Softpaws in the previous one.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's the thing with these DreamWorks movies, too. They're going to stack. Like famous voices deep into the movie where you don't even know, like you get Owen Wilson and you recognize him. He's Lightning McQueen, right? You get Mike Myers. He's Shrek. Like you got Harvey Guillen, Florence Pugh, John Mulaney, Ray Winstone, Olivia Colman. I mean, these are running deep into the characters.
Wow.
Playing, you know, Goldilocks and the Bears and all these other characters. Yeah, it's just crazy how they stack these decks. Even like Turbo, that snail movie with Ryan. Like
you
you go 10 deep and you're like, Snoop Dogg's in this? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yo, man. Well, yeah. Cool.
So, see that one, too. I'm excited for that one.
Awesome. What else should we see, Paul?
Well, I saw it because it did 1 week in the theater before it debuts December 23rd on Netflix, is Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. So the next adventures of Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig. So I like to see as many Netflix movies in the theater as I can, because I love just seeing movies in the theater, and Knives Out, the Glass Onion, Knives Out mystery worked great there, because you heard the gasp, you heard the people going, what? Because Rian Johnson has kind of done it again. He has written this thick, you know, demented murder mystery with tons of characters and lots of he does the classic whodunit move of just slow rollout of information, like puts the viewer in the dark until you need to not be anymore. You know, he's like, oh, I think I know it's done. Nope. You know, and so that's happens a lot. And there's bigger laughs in this one, too. There's a one of the hugest laughs of the year is actually in Glass Onion. It's just a whole scene that is just hilarious. And again, like Knives Out, stack the deck with like Don Johnson and Chris Evans and Michael Shannon and Christopher Plummer and on and on and on. This is Edward Norton and Janelle Monáe. They're both excellent. And then Catherine Hahn, always great. Leslie Odom Jr., making a name in movies like he does on stage. Kate Hudson, Dave Bautista. It's good. And this is it's a good wheelhouse for Rian Johnson. I mean, it's less dated than Agatha Christie, obviously. The movies are hip and cool, and I hope he makes more. So check it out. If you can't see it in the theater anymore, Netflix, December 23rd.
Because it sounds like it's another full cast, you know, of a who's who again.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much. And they're all gathered for who knows what reason. And then, you know, well, they're actually going to play a murder mystery game. And then, of course, something happens.
Oh, God.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Can I ask Paul about a movie?
Yeah.
I don't know if this will be good or bad, but I want to see if you've heard about this one called Megan, about the doll that the mom buys the daughter.
I'll tell you all I've heard about it. The trailer's going around, and everyone who shares it says, well, this looks like the weirdest thing on Earth, or the dumbest, or perhaps the dumbest thing on Earth. But I haven't brought myself to see that yet.
Got it.
So what's your take?
I think the same. This could be either very, very creepy or just an eye roll kind of thing, right?
Well, is it like a reboot of Chucky kind of a thing?
A
or?
Little bit, but a girl?
Okay, so a female Chucky.
She's an AI looking.
What was this,
kind of,
Meg or something?
Yeah,
like
Megan.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, I.
I'm gonna see it. I just don't know what it'll be.
The first one stuff like that really creeped me out, which I thought was really well done. And Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was with Anthony Hopkins. I think it was called Magic.
It was. Yeah.
Where it's this ventriloquist dummy.
Oh.
And I thought that was like awesome.
Wow. Yeah, I think that movie looks like it'll be entertaining, but I just. If it's supposed to be about a doll coming to like life, and it should be a doll.
Right.
If you do it in, you know, like computer graphics or computer generated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now
how is that a doll coming to life? You know what I mean? Like it's
and
or it's like it's an not, AI getting its own sort of will and consciousness.
Correct. But in these kinds of films, I feel like physical special effects works so much better than trying to go to computer generated because the idea of it being, you know, something that was created.
Yeah.
Right. And then becoming more than what it was created.
Yeah.
That is the scary part of these films.
Yeah.
When you make it as a physical piece, right? Like the Chucky dolls were a physical thing that was there. You know, now that acting as a human, that creates that sense of fear. When I'm looking at something that's been like CGI'd or anything like that, it's like, it's not even really there.
Mm. Yeah. And see,
not even a real thing. Mm.
And what I'm wondering about, though, is because now the whole Chucky thing has come to television, there's a series now. How much different is this Meg or Megan thing going to be? What's going to be their angle, since we've already seen Chucky, you know, so many times on film, and there's a series now about him. So what's going to be the different angle?
Yeah.
And how about Annabelle? Annabelle got a lot done and never even had to come to life.
True.
Really.
Mm.
And how about
Megan, she's protective.
Yeah.
So it's more like Terminator meets Chucky.
Well, it comes out in January, so don't expect much.
Okay, got it.
So it's a dumping ground, really.
Because that's kind of like the vibe it gives to me. It's more Terminator vibe than Chucky doll.
Got it. Anything else we should see, Paul?
Well, you know, underestimate James Cameron at your own peril. Underestimate Tom Hanks at your own peril. So I'm excited to see A Man Called Otto.
Oh.
It's a risky play. It's a risky play, like Black Adam, kind of taking the charm out of Hanks. He plays a grumpy guy whose wife has passed, and he kind of doesn't see his place in this world anymore until he gets, like, the neighbor that gives him hope again. And then he finds friendship in the most unlikely place. You know, that. So... Yeah. That could either go cheese bag, but I think at the hands of director Mark Forster, who's pretty good. He directed my favorite film back 20 years ago called Monsters Ball. Not my favorite film ever, but my favorite film of that year. Mm. He directed Finding Neverland. So he's a good, solid director. I think could handle the material. And it's based on an already popular book and foreign language film called A Man Called Ova or something like that. Yeah. It's not Otto. They changed it Otto for so people could pronounce it.
Right.
But but I think the guy can play anything. Hanks can play anything. I mean, if so you had a World War II movie, would you put him in it? No. And yet, Saving Private Ryan, the guy can play anything. So I
it's
don't
true.
Bet against him.
And that's one of the few actors, I think, who you look at his career and you go, wow, what a filmography that man has done.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Robin Williams. He's done everything from comedy to serious, and Hanks has kind of done the same thing, you know, overall. And there's, you know, yeah, the early stuff that maybe wasn't that great, but it was for its time period. But as he's gotten older, whatever, the roles that he's picked, I mean, it's like, have you seen the new Pinocchio that he's in where he plays Geppetto?
No, I heard it was so bad. I never
really?
Watched it. And I'll be honest with you, the story of Pinocchio doesn't really grab me.
Uh-huh.
It's just so weird. It's like the weird island and the weird animals and the weird, I don't know. I've never it's never grabbed me quite like Cinderella or something. You know?
Yeah, I've got Disney Plus and I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I do want to see it to see just for Hank's performance. You know, because to me, it's like every performance he's done, it's kind of like Kurt Russell. You know, and you and I've kind of talked about that with how I feel about Kurt Russell. You know, just because Kurt's in a film, I have to see it now because he's such a good actor. He makes any scene look amazing, you know, with the way his personality is. And I think Hanks is the same way. It might be a bad movie, but the way he acts in that scene, it's incredible on what he does, you know, because he puts in that 110% kind of a thing. So,
well, like the phrase we like to use at the movie guys is, I bet you Hanks kills in Pinocchio. We'll see, or someone will. Sure, it may not be me, but
yeah,
I mean, even that piece of crap Elvis, he was having some fun in. So see what Hanks is doing while he's on the planet, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, he was great in that. I mean, like, even if you look at Bridge of Spies, he was awesome in Bridge of Spies.
Oh, well, yeah, Bridge of Spies was fantastic. Yeah, good movie, too.
Yeah, very good movie.
From Bachelor Party to Philadelphia, the guy's got range.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, all right, my friend. Oh, by the way, real quick before we let you go, I did see Black Adam the other day. I didn't think it was that bad, though. But I saw some of the things that you were talking about. But I thought they could have done a little bit better with certain things, though.
Clearly you didn't, because all I talked about was the badness. So,
I watched with my teenage son, and I thought we were watching two different movies, because he was like, oh, that was awesome. Oh, that part was so cool. Oh, I can't believe you just did that. And I was going, what movie are you watching? And we
really
totally different experiences. So
wow,
I just chalked it up to it's for someone like my son.
Mm-hmm. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson now is like really doing some major damage control, because right now I think they said it hasn't even done over 400 million worldwide.
Really?
And it's done and I think they said it has to break, I think, 500 or 600 million just to break even.
Oh.
So it's like way below what it was supposed to be, you know.
And
Dwayne was a producer on this too, and he was so proud of it, and you know, for it to flop the way it flopped.
Wow,
you know, it's tough. You know,
hashtag end the DCEU. I know they do hashtag restore the Snyderverse. Nope, forget all that.
Yeah.
Standalone movies. Done. Don't, the extended universe thing is Marvel's. You should just say, then you guys do it. At DC, we're going to do something. We'll see.
Aquaman,
James Gunn's
just
at the helm
announced
now, so.
That they are also killing that franchise.
Well, I heard that Jason Momoa is stepping down as Aquaman.
Well, I mean, same thing, but they're canceling the whole franchise and they're re-charactering him. They're recasting him or something like that.
Well, he wants to be recast,
which is annoying, by the way. Once a character to me is recasted as another one, I no longer follow that franchise.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it. And I
like when
now.
That one dude, Chris, whatever, was
Chris Evans.
Yeah, he played one for the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, he was like played the Human Torch.
Yeah. And then he came back as Captain America, and I just no longer follow that actor anymore. I'm just done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just heard Paul.
Zero tolerance.
You just heard Paul.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So much for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'll never watch that again.
Paul, I know we won't get a chance to talk to you because next week is going to be our last show, and then after that it's the holidays. So just want to wish you, my friend, a very, very Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year to you and Susan. And to have you be a part of this show for another year, man, it's been incredible. You are a staple with this show, and I can't thank you enough about it.
Twist my arm to talk movies.
Okay, will do. Will do. Absolutely. All right, my friend, we will talk to you after the new year, buddy.
Oh, yes, and I should say, if anyone's looking to do some comedy fun and good times during the holidays, next Tuesday there's a big fundraiser for my friend Katie, who's had cancer. She and my friend Nick Woodrich have been, you know, popular and active members of the comedy community up in Burbank and the LA area. And yeah, she's been hit with this nasty thing. Looks like she's going to come out of it fine, but they're slammed with medical bills, as you can imagine. So there's a big fundraiser. She had a double mastectomy, so Bye Bye Boobies is the show coming up this Tuesday.
That's funny.
At the Loft Ensemble in North Hollywood. Basically, follow me at P Preston LA. And you'll see a flyer on there. Just look for the pink flyer at P Preston LA, Twitter and Instagram, and you can get the information to donate or come see the show, because there's a heck of a lineup. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Awesome. Can't wait, man. I'll try. What time does it start?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I might get there late, but because I'm teaching. I don't get done until 8:30. So, but it's a drive up to Burbank. But
right. You know, that's a hike. If you can make it, great.
Yeah.
I understand. But
if not, I'll definitely donate something, whatever, for it, because, I mean, it's definitely a good cause.
Right on, dude. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself, man. Have a good one. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, buddy.
Bye, Paul.
Late.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I just want to mention this real quick. This podcast that we do here, Your Weekly Dose, I've had several reasons on why I wanted to start this and keep it going and everything. And part of it was that two people that were here in Los Angeles, for those on the East Coast for affiliates, I know you guys are not too familiar with them, unless you lived in Los Angeles from 1987 to 2012. There was these two guys, these two gentlemen that came from Birmingham, Alabama, that came to Los Angeles and just blew the doors off. They were called Mark and Brian, and they were just a big, big staple here in Los Angeles. They were on the air for 25 years on KLOS, local classic rock station. And recently, Mark Thompson, one half of the duo there, just put out a new book called Don't Bump the Record Kid, My Adventures with Mark and Brian.
Hmm.
We bought the book, and it's signed, and we even have our own bookmark with it. That's a ruler and everything with it. And it okay. He does go through his entire career of the radio industry from his time that he got paired up with Brian all the way up until recently, actually, when he was on 100.3 The Sound, mm-hmm. which was a few years ago, about 3-4 years ago, so that he was on the air with that. It's a little bit more of inside the look of the duo, mm-hmm. His point of view, things that he went through personally. I think a lot of Mark and Brian listeners are going to be shocked on the things that he writes about. Mm. But if you want a good read of what it's like to hit number one and then to slowly fall down from being that, from being on the top of the mountain kind of a thing, and what they went through, what Mark went through personally, and so forth. It's a wonderful read. If you want to understand what it was like to have radio be at its golden age, basically, because I mean, nowadays, I mean, let's face it, radio shows are not what they used to, mm-hmm. you know. It's another good read for that to get a good insight on this. So I have the hard copy here.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't read it yet, but I did buy the audiobook version mm-hmm. of it. And it's a 10-hour listen. Mm-hmm. Mark does his own narrating on his book with an introduction by actor Kevin Pollak.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a great actor and a very close friend of Mark's. And it's a 10-hour listen. It's... If you want to listen to it too and listen from Mark's point of view, it's really, really good. And he goes through everything, the rise of the guys, his tenure there, their show on NBC and everything. So I suggest you guys get it. You can go to myadventureswithmarkandbrian.com to get the book. There's no more hardcovers. They've all been signed and been sent out, but you can get the new soft cover as well as the ebook and as well as the audio book too, which I bought as well myself. And it's really good. It really is. It's very, very insightful. And there were some things in there very inspiring too that I would like to share with you, partner, okay, later nice. On, you know, for this thing. But I just want to mention it real quick. Mark doesn't even know, and he's been doing the rounds too on KTLA and Adam Carolla and even former producer Nicole Sandler.
Sweet.
You know, promoting the book and everything. So I'm going to see if I can maybe convince Mark to come back on and so we can talk a little bit about that too. Because there were some things that were a little surprising and shocking for me. So, but interesting. So go out and get it. It is really a good read and very interesting.
Yeah.
So from glad to sad, unfortunately. The passing. Oh, I got another one, man. We're losing these people left and right. Come on. Be healthy, people. Know what you're eating. Go see a doctor, but not at Kaiser. That's an inside joke.
That I don't know if that's an inside joke. That's just straight. Like,
straight truth, yeah. If you got Kaiser, you're fucked. Okay. Kirstie Alley, we just lost. Sorry. Hey. You know. Well, never mind. I was going to say something
Kirstie
else.
Kirstie Alley.
I was going to say something else in case I'm like, forget it. Okay. Kirstie Alley, we just lost recently also mm-hmm. Due to cancer. You know, of course, she was the star of Cheers and Drop Dead Gorgeous. Also, Look Who's Talking, Look Who's Talking Too.
Sure. Yeah,
very, very funny
Star
movie,
Trek, man. I believe.
Star Trek, yeah. She's had so many different accolades. The sad thing is that she was diagnosed recently.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, how far along was it? I mean, she had to be in like stage 3 or stage 4 or whatever for it. And all of a sudden, you know, lost it, lost her battle, of course. And of course, the family says, you know, we're so sad to inform you that our incredible, fierce, and loving mother has passed away after a battle with cancer only recently discovered. She was surrounded by her closest family and fought with great strength, leaving us with certainty of her never-ending joy of living in whatever adventures lie ahead. As iconic as she was on screen, she was even more amazing as a mother and a grandmother. So, just, you know, another one gone, man.
Yeah.
Another one gone.
Yeah.
And so sad. And she's won, I think, a few Emmys, I think, for Cheers.
I don't recall.
I think she's like one or two or whatever for it.
But yeah, she took over for Shelley Long after
Shelley Long.
Yeah, left.
Left and everything, and she came in.
Changed the dynamic of Cheers. I remember it.
Yeah.
It kind of went in a different direction at that point. Yeah.
And still did well.
Yeah.
Still did very, very well.
Great show.
So sad to see her pass.
Yeah.
Casey, real quick, I want to make sure that we try to keep on time today because
10:57.
Okay, intern Christopher has something immediately right after the show, so we want to make sure we end at 11:30 today.
Okay.
So here's something I need to share with you, partner.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard this or have ever seen this, but this is a tradition that we've been doing on the show. Mitch and Mark and Brian, it comes from their show as well. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things that we do is we pay homage to them on the show by sharing these things to keep their tradition of humor going as well. This was something that was more or less what you're going to hear is a rehearsal mm-hmm. that was done for an SNL show years ago. Mm-hmm. And it is Paul Simon and Steve Martin. And Paul Simon's on the piano and he's playing Silver Bells mm-hmm. basically on it. And then Steve Martin kind of goes into his whole comedy thing of what he does mm-hmm. as Steve Martin. And, of course, we're doing this today also because tonight, Steve Martin and Martin Short are hosting SNL.
Can't wait to see
it. And
that.
I can't wait to see it. Yeah. It's going to be so good.
Yes.
You know, and if you haven't seen their comedy special, which is their play, It is spectacular. Mm-hmm. It is funny. They insult each other.
Yes.
The way true friends do.
Yeah.
You know, and you see the closeness of it and everything with each other. And it is really, really nice.
Yeah, great chemistry.
But wonderful chemistry.
Yeah.
It's like a Martin Lewis kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's an Abbott and Costello. Mm-hmm. It's a Laurel and Hardy type of a thing. You know, and you get these two guys together. And, of course, they became best friends when they first met on the movie The Three Amigos. Which is a classic
film. Quotable. I had the record, the vinyl of
that. Did you really?
Yeah, I did. The Singing Bush and their songs. There's a lot of great moments. A lot of great one-liners.
I think the funniest thing that I saw or whatever that made me, that just tickled me the most out of that whole film is when they take a shot of tequila.
Uh-huh.
And each one does something funny. Like Chevy, I think, lifts his leg or
Spasms.
Spasms in a different way. That just tickled me so much.
That whole scene where they're set up to be the fearsome, the Germans and all the Mexican villagers are scared of them and letting them do the song and dance in there.
Yeah.
It was such a funny scene. Yeah.
My buttercup.
Yeah.
Your buttercup.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody.
Sweet little buttercup.
it's such a great film. If you haven't seen Three Amigos, sit down with your kids. It's just as good as Blazing Saddles kind of a thing. It really is.
Yeah.
So here's Steve Martin Paul Simon rather. Steve Martin and Paul Simon doing Silver Bells.
Here we go. One, two.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style in the air. There's the feeling of Christmas. People passing, children laughing, and for mile after mile, on every street corner, you'll hear silver bells.
Last night, my child looked up at me and said, Uncle Steve, he didn't know I was his father. I didn't know for sure either. I just assumed I was. I'd had his mother so many times and in so many different ways. The odds were with me. Anyway, he looked up at me and said, what does Christmas mean to you? And I said, Lemuel, Christmas is a time for giving, a time for receiving, a time for eggnog and rum, a time for cutting down trees and hanging plastic doodads on them and watching them die slowly in your living room, catch fire and burn down your house and all your possessions. It's a time for buying things that haven't sold all year long, wrapping them up in shiny paper, and giving them to your friends, return them and find out you got it on sale. They can only exchange them for things of equal value, like charcoal briquettes or matchbooks with other people's names on them. A time for giving your wife that special coat she always wanted. Those seals didn't need their fur anyway. What do they want it for? They're dead already. It's a time for eggnog and brandy, driving home on icy streets, accidentally nudging the car next to you off the bridge into the frozen river, watching the car sink, seeing the bubbles float up under the water. It's time to sip an eggnog martini and think about the poor, and talk of feeding the naked and clothing the hungry. Time to get Christmas cards from all your friends that consolidated and allied an Acme. Time for seeing all those happy children sitting on Santa's lap at Toyland, thinking to yourself, maybe I'll be a Santa next year. 12 years old is not so far from 18. Maybe I should be laying a little groundwork for the future. It's a time for parties at the office with eggnog and vodka. Telling your boss what you really think of him while he gets a perfect Xerox of your wife's rear end. Time for sitting by the hearth, sipping eggnog and tequila, your feet up on a burning log, and realizing that Uncle Walt has been in your garage for 45 minutes with the car running. You say to yourself, damn, Uncle Walt, you were supposed to bring me back more eggnog. And that, Lemuel, is what Christmas means to me.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Paul Simon had to have not been listening to not crack up laughing. Like,
I know.
Like, just focus on the song, because I would be cracking up.
And the thing is, that was an actual rehearsal. Yeah. So it never went on the air. Yeah. It was just, you know, the guys got the tape, whatever, for rehearsal. You can tell how old it is, too.
Yeah.
You know, but my favorite line, which is so not good nowadays. 12 ain't too far from 18.
I was going to say, he was a lot more edgy in this. He became more mainstream as the years went on.
Yeah.
Some of that material he did live was not very different from what he does today.
Oh, yeah.
He's evolved a lot.
Well, I mean, I think with anything, you kind of grow, you change, you do this.
Yeah.
And the times change too. But
yeah.
I mean, you got to laugh at some of that stuff, man.
His timing and delivery is so good. He's so funny.
And that's something that hasn't changed with him either.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, you watch, you know, him and Short together, and the timing is just beautiful. Just amazing. So I thought I'd share that with you.
I love that. Yeah.
So something that we do every year here on Your Weekly Dose.
Oh, yeah.
So another thing that we share on Your Weekly Dose also, like you said, Mark and Brian were huge here in Los Angeles and everything. And Brian came from, for those who don't know, because I know a large part of our audience are former Mark and Brian listeners. But for those of you in our syndications, Brian was kind of more or less didn't come from radio where Mark did. Mm-hmm. Mark's background was strictly radio. I mean, he was doing radio since he was 16 years old and worked his way up. And of course, his goal was to be in a major market. And of course,
he did.
Yes, yeah. You know, second largest market in the U.S., Los Angeles. Hello, to go from Birmingham to here was definitely an accomplishment for him. But Brian came more or less from a theater background, more of an improv background, and the characters that he came up with through the years were just incredible, just very clever, very witty, and so. The guys also shared a camaraderie, I guess you could say, a little bit with Elvis. Mark was more a little bit more of the Elvis fanatic. You know, he's a huge fan of the King. I mean, he could quote a movie, he could quote a song, he could quote a record when it was released or whatever, who produced it and stuff like that. Brian more or less created the Elvis character, is what it was. So one year they decided, well, what if we kind of change it up a bit and we find out that there's an elf up in the North Pole who is a Elvis impersonator?
Mm-hmm.
And how would that go over kind of a thing? And so they played with it a little bit. And so they came up with the character Elfvis.
Mm.
And it's been a big hit with them for over the years. And, of course, people love to hear it. On our show too as well. So for those of you guys on the East Coast, this might be the first or second time you guys have heard this one. So here we go. Mark and Brian with Elvis.
An individual we've had on the program for the last couple of years, it appears, and by God, what would Christmas be without a visit from this gentleman, straight, direct from the North Pole. He is also an Elvis impersonator up that way. Please welcome back to the show, Elvis. Good morning.
I see, C.C. Rider. I see what you have done. Yeah. I don't see, Mama Baby. It's Elvis coming at you.
Hey, Elvis.
I don't see, Mama Baby. What's going on, Mama? Mama Baby. Gonna come over to my igloo later. Gonna maybe make him with some banana and blueberry deep fried sandwiches. Yeah.
Wow, Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's try to get this right now.
Thank you.
You're an elf. You're an elf?
Yeah, I'm an elf.
And you live at the North Pole.
Living at the North Pole.
And you're an Elvis impersonator.
And I am the Elvis impersonator. I'm Elvis. Yeah, I remember one night when I was little. Yeah. Well, littler. I was in my room singing and dancing around, you know, like I do.
Right.
And my daddy yelled, "Hey, boy, stop all that ear-splitting racket and go learn a trade. Ain't nothing wrong with building dolls and choo-choo trains and Pez dispensers for a living. It was good enough for me. It's good enough for you. Now take off your mama's pantsuit." I said, "But daddy, I want to be the greatest entertainer that's ever touched a stage like Elvis Presley. Right. All I need is a hook." And he said, "Son, you got to face some facts. Yeah. You're an elf, and that's all you'll ever be. Now, I know you can sing. We all can. That's one of the things us elves do. But we're supposed to sing jolly holly songs of festive merriment, not this hoochie-coochie jungle music. And elves do not wiggle their hips.
No.
And elves do not grow sideburns.
No.
And elves do not hump the cat."
Right.
Did Elvis do that?
So.
But the point is, I just want to say, I never give up on my dream.
No.
No, baby mama. And here I am today. The most famous, most loved, highest paid entertainer in the Arctic region. I'm Elvis. Elvis, 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 Elvis.
So now, Elvis, you've been performing lately?
I do. I've been performing, absolutely. The Klondike Bar and Grill, 6 nights, 2 shows on Saturday, 7:30 and 10. No cover, 1 drink minimum. That's the Klondike Bar and Grill.
Come on by.
But I don't just impersonate the king.
No?
No. I live the life.
You live the life of the king. Meaning what?
Well, there's lots of comparisons. I'll give you some comparisons, Mama Baby. I tell you. See? The king lived in Graceland.
Right, right.
I live near Iceland.
Wow, that's uncanny. That's kind of wacky.
The king would travel in a limo with a minibar.
Right.
I travel on a snowmobile with a drink holder. I see.
Man.
I see, see Ryder.
Yeah, right. That's wild. That's so close, so similar.
I don't say one of the king's hits was "I Just Want to Be Your Teddy Bear."
Right.
I once saw an Eskimo get torn in half by a polar bear.
Look out.
I'll see.
Man, it's I'll meant to be. It's meant to be.
I'll karate chop you. Don't be harsh in my gig. I come over and karate chop you.
I know you will.
Give you a hard one to the ankle. Yeah, I took some karate lessons like the king, you betcha, baby.
Look out.
Mama, baby.
Holy cow.
I say, I just want to come in and tell everybody, and don't forget, I'm at the Klondike Bar and Grill all this week, and then the Whiskey of Snow Dome through New Year's.
Wow, we'll absolutely try to check out the show. And still, a lot of Yetis come to the show?
A lot of Yetis come, I tell you, boy. Hey, Yeti. When you start on me, I just want to see them Yetis. Nothing will spoil a good show. The Yeti coming in and eating all my elf audience. Hot damn tamale.
So Yetis come in and they start eating the audience?
Oh, they come in and they say, "Oh, we'll be good. You know, we ain't hungry enough. We ain't going to eat nobody. Just let them come enjoy the show. Yeah, let's sit down. We're going to be good and all." But you get them Yetis start drinking, they get mean. I'll be right in the middle of 2001 Space Odyssey or something like that. You know, maybe a little my way. They'll stand up and take a bite out of the front row. Them damn Yetis. Now, don't get me wrong. I can take out one Yeti. No problem. But I just even crowded shot. But, but the Yeti, as you know, the Yeti travel in packs.
Yeah.
On account of their pussy Yeti.
I didn't know that.
And them Yetis are just a bunch of pussies.
I didn't know that. I wonder where.
The traveling pack are scared of it. They know I take one of them out.
Yeah. That makes it tough.
Nah, I ain't gonna put up with that no more. Not them Yetis.
No.
I'm gonna start kicking me some Yeti butt. You know, like that Clint Eastwood did in some of them spy Yeti westerns?
Right. look at that.
Yeah, I'm gonna put on my 1 gallon hat. Grab my 0.6 shooter and put on my black trench coat from Oshkosh Bagosh and start making some of them Yetis my bitches.
Oh, look out there. Oh, God. Sorry, Elvis. I'm sorry that happened.
Oh, I am son bitching you.
Oh, God. Well, listen. have a great holiday. And as always, thank you for popping in. Give us the latest update on the show and what all's going on there in the North Pole.
Oh, mama, baby, I enjoy coming down here. Don't forget to come see the show now. I'm Elvis. Oh, you come on, crowd chop you. I do to you what I do to them Yetis when they ruin all my Elvis show.
I know.
Oh, crowd chop you.
I know you do.
Crowd chop you. What you laughing at? I don't sleep, mama, baby. Don't piss me off, man. I come over there right now. Oh, you need it.
Oh, watch out now.
Hey, that hurt, didn't it?
You sure did.
I focus my chi.
We don't want that going on.
I'm
going
to give you ninja kick.
Oh, my God, you are getting good at that.
Can't believe you're still standing. The hell, you on some kind of drugs? You must be hyped up on that CPC something. I ain't feeling any of this. I'm going to kick you so bad,
Oh, God, Elvis, you are fired up, boy.
Oh, you better get me out of here before I start taking names. Thank you, Mama.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building.
Oh, so good.
Wow.
County genius, man, right there.
Angry elf, geez.
He can be.
Yeah. Elvis. So, that's funny. The Klondike Bar and Grill is great.
And the whiskey of Snow Dome.
Yeah, the whiskey of Snow Dome, yeah. The Yetis come in, they're not hungry.
Oh, they take a bite of that front row.
Yep, yep. The spaghetti westerns, too.
Half of that stuff, man, was off of top of Brian.
Yeah, yeah, they're just riffing.
Yeah, he was, really.
Yeah.
Brian, you know, Mark was more or less the straight guy.
Straight man, yeah.
And just kind of like let him go.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mark's contagious laugh.
Yeah,
man.
You
can't help it either.
That's funny.
The last thing I want to give you guys today, though, too, is part of our traditions also, is the worst Christmas song ever.
I can't wait to hear this.
And we get to comment on this thing here,
okay,
you know, over it. So without trying to run over a little bit late, let's go ahead and start this. And this song is by Linda Bennett, and it's called An Old Fashioned Christmas.
This is your music, news, and weather station, bringing you the best in Christmas music on this beautiful Christmas Eve.
That starts off pretty good. And she sounds like the gal who plays Mrs. Claus in that anime.
The Rankin Bass.
Yeah, she kind of sounds like that.
Outside, the snow is falling. What a sight to see. Daddy will be coming home as happy as can be. He'll be walking through the door 10 minutes after 9.
Great setup.
'Cause the bus he takes each night is always right on time. It's gonna be a very merry Christmas with all the children by the Christmas tree.
Very 70s.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a real old-fashioned Christmas.
is where it takes a left turn. Making spirits bright. What
fun it is to... We're sorry to interrupt this program, but a bulletin has just been handed me. There's been a serious accident involving the number 5 bus out of New Haven. The only information we have is that the bus skidded on a patch of ice and slammed into a tree. Stay tuned to this station for further details.
Mommy, isn't that the bus Daddy rides each night?
Put your mind at ease, my children. Everything's all right.
Reassuring.
Everyone, don't get excited. Things will be okay. Nothing bad is gonna happen on this Christmas day. It's gonna be a very merry Christmas with all the children by the Christmas tree.
Trying to reassure.
Yes.
It's
pull through this.
Yeah, we're going to get through this whole thing, no matter what.
Okay, I feel good again.
Dad's okay.
Feel good.
Dad's all right.
For my children, their daddy and me.
Noel. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Carol.
Yeah. Oh, my God, not again.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed the latest report involving bus number 5 out of New Haven. And from all indications, we're sorry to report that there were no survivors.
Oh, my God, this just can't happen. What am I to do?
Collect the insurance, lady.
What have I got left to look forward to?
Who will walk me down the aisle on my wedding day? Who is gonna buy me toys and take me out to play? Daddy!
Merry Christmas, everybody. I know it's late, but I missed my bus. Well, don't just stand there. Help me with these presents.
It's gonna be.
It all worked out.
He took the number 6.
What father rings the doorbell? I just don't understand.
He needed help. He had all the presents in his hands.
But he could ring the doorbell?
Merry Christmas, Daddy.
Yeah.
It all worked out.
But, I mean, what a horrible... I mean, just to go from...
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that from some comedy troupe or something?
No. No, this lady recorded this as like a serious...
No.
Hit. Yes.
No.
Yes.
This is like National Lampoon's or something,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
Oh, my. I mean, to me, it reminds me of Christmas Shoes.
Christmas Shoes is up there on my list.
Yeah.
As one of the worst.
Well, I remember, it was early 80s or mid 80s. There was also another one called Dear Mr. Jesus.
No, I'm looking that up.
Oh, my God. Those were, Christmas Shoes and Dear Mr. Jesus. It's just...
Do you know they made a movie with Rob Lowe about the Christmas Shoes?
Yes.
He's the guy in line.
And it's just as horrible as the song.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I feel bad for Rob Lowe. I really
do. Yeah, Rob Lowe.
I'm like, Rob, what were you thinking? I love you. You went from West Wing to that thing with Fred, what's his name, to Christmas Shoes.
Wayne's World to Christmas
Shoes. You know, and what were you thinking, Rob? Come on, dude. Get a better agent.
I'm listening on that on the way home. All right. Thank you for sharing that.
I figured with that one, you know, what the hell, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Oh, that's going on my playlist.
Yeah.
You know, I have the William Hung Christmas album, if you haven't heard that. We can listen to some of that next week.
Oh, we should play that next week then for one of our themes.
Jingle Cats. Jingle Cats is pretty good, too. We'll share.
We'll share. So, anyway, so I thought, we'd share with all of you guys also the worst Christmas song ever. again, if you want to, like, sing along to it, again, it's Linda Bennett, An Old-Fashioned Christmas.
Love it.
And I've heard that people have tried to interview her, you know, regarding the song. Uh-huh. She won't take any interviews at all.
Is she denying it ever happened?
It's an imposter. Somebody else named Linda Bennett.
Linda.
So yeah,
let's get her on the show.
Believe me, I love to. I love to go. What were you thinking?
What was the idea here?
Yeah, what made you think this was a good song to record?
Yes,
you know, and get you royalties,
money.
You know, not much.
Who will walk
Are you
me
sure?
down the aisle?
I don't know how many plays does this thing have on YouTube.
I don't know. We can find out. But in the meantime, though, I think we need to be ready, though. Don't you?
Two.
It's time for the game.
Two. Play. The game.
And now, the game show that discovered a new Earth, Kepler, 300 light years away. You're welcome. Quiz me.
Quiz you.
You know what I love a fact about that you've taken over for that? Is like you try to do Steve.
It's not even close.
And it's nowhere near close, but it's so funny, though. And now. Oh, I love it every time. All right. Intern Christopher, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get this.
Yeah, we got to rapid fire these. Boom, boom, boom. Question number one. Boom, 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 boom. Put it down the low. All right.
Wow.
Who wrote The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn?
Sean.
I heard Forrest.
Mark Twain.
That is correct. Question number two. Comic books were first popularized in the United States during what decade?
Sean.
1920s. No.
Yeah.
Forrest.
1940s.
No.
The 30s.
Yes. Good job. Wow. Question number three. The oldest instrument is what type of instrument?
Forrest.
Forrest.
Sean. The lyre? The L-Y-R-E?
No. No.
Sean.
Oh, Sean.
Trumpet.
No.
I mean, is it a flute?
Yeah.
Oh.
Over 6,000 years old.
Wow.
Wow, the flutes look pretty good for 6,000.
Yeah.
Not a day over 7.
Yeah.
Ah, question number four. Hollow reed and some colors.
Yeah. All righty. Which U.S. president was the first to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize?
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Forrest. JFK.
No.
Sean. President Bartlett.
We wish.
No.
We wish.
George
no.
Washington.
No. I don't even think the Nobel Peace Prize existed back then.
What, we can't do it like post?
It was Theodore Roosevelt.
Teddy. Oh, Roosevelt. Teddy. Oh, okay.
And also the first American to be awarded
to win
as well.
Wow. All right. Very cool.
All right. Question number five. Which superhero movie premiered in 1978 starring...
Sean? Superman.
Superman the movie starring Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, baby!
Nice.
Precog!
Precog.
Question number six.
AI.
All right. Which Beatles track spent 9 weeks at number one in the U.S.?
Sean. God, it's going to be a toss-up between this one and that one. 9 weeks. I'm going to say Hey Jude.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah, that was my guess, Woo! Too. That was.
I was gonna say, it's got to be either Hey Jude or Let It Be, one of the two.
Yeah.
All right, question number seven. All right. What year did Marilyn Monroe marry famous baseball player Joe, I believe it's DiMaggio?
Yeah,
Jolton Joe.
What year?
Forrest. 1953.
No.
Okay.
Sean.
I would say 58.
No, Forrest is closest though.
What did you say?
53.
49.
No. Forrest is still the closest.
All right.
Sean. 52.
No, go up.
Forrest, 54.
Yay!
Shocking.
Right. Next one. Question number. What are we on? Eight or nine? I don't know. Hold on.
Count
it. Two, three. Three left. Or an eight. There we go. I can count. All right.
It's a new
Which
math.
Five countries have more than half of the world's forests? I only need two correct.
Casey? Africa. And the United States.
You said countries?
I said countries, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Africa's a continent.
Well, okay, sorry.
Nope.
I mean, United States is one of them. So if someone can give me another one.
Sean? The United States and Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, those are two. The other three are Brazil, Canada, and China.
Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil. You're in Brazil.
Yes. Question number 9.
That was from Fast and the Furious.
No, this is Brazil. That's what that was quote was. All right. What was the first of the Star Wars anthology films?
What was the first?
Well, episode 4?
No.
Wait, repeat again?
What was the first of the Star Wars anthology films?
Anthology films?
Okay, then I don't understand the question.
I'm a Star Wars nerd and I don't understand the question. Anthology.
Anthology in another sentence.
Yes. Yes. Can you give me the definition, please?
Well,
he's like, without giving you the answer.
What this basically means is the standalone films.
What was the first one? Oh.
Should be an easy one. There's only two.
Forrest? Oh, Sean.
Oh. Sean?
No, Forrest.
Solo.
Yeah.
No.
Sean. Oh, Sean. Okay, Sean. I know. Ewoks.
No.
Adventure on Endor. It was a TV film.
The Christmas special.
No. Rogue One.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah, it was just the way
you
it
even
was.
Mouthed
yeah,
it.
The way the
I
question
saw you
was
mouthed
worded.
It.
It's the way that I'm just appealing.
I still say the first Ewoks film on ABC.
I think
was,
that
that's
is.
The first.
Oh, we're moving on to question number 10.
No, let's argue some more.
All right. The word angel derives from the Greek meaning what?
Sean. One who wears white past Labor Day.
No.
Damn.
Forest. Ghost with wings.
No.
Casey, do you have a quick guess?
Angel?
Is that your guess?
No.
It means angel.
I know.
I just love the fact that
heavenly
you put
bird.
A question with it.
No. If you can get, all right. Fill in the blank. Don't shoot the blank.
Messenger.
There you go.
Yeah. I was going to say wad.
Well, you would have gotten it wrong.
Shoot the wad. We all lost.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. That is the show. There's a couple of things we didn't get to, but don't worry. We will do them next week, though. So we'll get you back to a pocket-sized cinema, and we'll definitely be doing our Christmas phone messages as well. So, all right, cool. Thank you.
Nice.
All righty, guys. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
Hey, thanks for joining us this week. Looking forward to the next week because I'll have something to tell you next week.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's saving it up.
I'm still out of Facebook jail. You can find me on there, Casey and
Now Summers. You're getting boring.
It is. I know.
What the hell's going on with you?
I've been busy.
Don't.
I haven't been on it that much.
You can't disappoint me. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Most of my Facebook time now is spent, like, just applying for gigs.
Man.
Yeah.
Fine to be that way.
I know.
Well, guys, if you guys want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. Actually, I've got some things coming up pretty soon, but won't announce them just yet. But I've got some things planned, so stay tuned for those for sure overall. Until then, guys, be good to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Go out. Don't forget, shop on Amazon. Just use our Amazon banner, though. That's just it. Click on, go to our website, yourweeklydose.com. Click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it, and then shop to your heart's delight. That way, they send us a little money every time you shop, and we stay on the air. And come February, man, it'll be 7 years on the air that we've been doing this. And let's see if we can get to 10. What the hell? And don't forget, you guys, you can also listen to us on Del Mar with Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And also on our favorite affiliate, Lime City Radio, at noon Wednesday through Friday. And, of course, live every Saturday, 1 p.m. for you East Coasters, 10 a.m. here on the Pacific. So until then, guys, take care of each other. Don't forget to spread the word about our podcast because we cannot grow without you. Until then, take care. Have a good one. See you next week. You can say bye.
Bye.
There you
bye.
Go.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.